Romans chapter number 3. Try to read a few verses here and desire your prayers that the Lord would help us. Try to give you what's on our heart for the service today. Appreciate everything that's been said and done already in the service. Glad the Lord knows what we need and when we need it. And I had this thought, and I want to read a few verses this morning, really focus in on one, if the Lord would help us, but I want to read several just to put the one that we're going to look at in context. And pondering about this all day yesterday, out working, the Lord worked in my heart about this verse and this thought, and I believe it's where He'd have us to be this morning. Romans chapter 3, when you found your place, if you're physically able and willing to do so, we'll stand together out of reverence and honor to the reading of the Word of God. I want to begin reading this morning in verse number 19 of Romans chapter number 3. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in His blood, to declare His righteousness for the remission of sins that are past through the forbearance of God. To declare, I say, at this time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? Is it excluded? By what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God which shall justify the circumcision by faith and the uncircumcision through faith, do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Thank you for standing. You can be seated. We read these verses here in Romans chapter 3. And if you read the entirety of this chapter and somewhat in the chapter coming before, the writer here, the Apostle Paul, is making the point we read this morning that all are guilty before God. That the Jews, even though we understand, and the Apostle Paul makes it very clear in his writings that they are the chosen people of God, but yet through disobedience and unbelief, salvation turned to the Gentiles, and we all are concluded guilty in the eyes of God. That there is no difference, Paul would go on to write, between the Jew and the Greek, but the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon Him. And so here in this writing, he is making the point and makes the statement in verse number 23 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I was out yesterday, and I'm always still amazed. I don't, in my mind sometimes I think that I shouldn't be amazed that the Lord does what He does, but still yet I'm often amazed at the simple things that the Lord uses to illustrate the truths of the Word of God to my life. And He'll do the same for yours. When Christ was on the earth and He preached those hard things to be understood, He used simple live illustrations that everybody could relate to help them understand the truths of the preaching of the gospel. Now, I was out yesterday working and trying. Brother Tim mentioned this morning that I have sheep, and about everybody knows that. And I was trying to put out more fence for another section of pasture, and I was trying to join two pieces of fence together, two sections together, and I got everything together, had this a spool of wire, and everything looked like it would work out just perfectly. Everything was going smoothly, and I got all the way to the end, started at the top, joined them together, come around, spent my time on every place, and come all the way back to where I started to make the final connection, to bring the two pieces together, and I come up about 2 inches short. And it didn't matter how much I pulled on this one. I mean, I got down on my knees down next to the ground and pulled with everything in me. There was no joining them together. So I had to go get something to bridge the gap between the new and the old. And in doing so, you say, well, that don't mean anything to me. Well, in doing so, the Lord spoke to my heart and said, that's what Christ did for you. That God was over here and man was over here, and the law and works and religion and all the things that mankind had always tried to do to pull man toward God and to pull God toward man never could span the gap between man and God that was left as a result of sin. At one time in the Garden of Eden, when man was created by God in His own image, that the Bible said that God would go down in the cool of the day and He would walk and talk with Adam. But because sin came into the heart of man, it broke the fellowship and the relationship between God and man, and there was a gap made, a gulf that was open that nobody could bridge to get man to God or bring God to man. We all come short. That's what just kept rolling over in my heart and in my mind yesterday, the whole day, is that we all have come short. That none of us by our own deeds or by our own power can reach out and take hold of God. That we don't have the power in ourselves. That becoming a church member does not bridge the gap to bring a lost human being into salvation. That bring him to God. That being baptized don't bridge the gap. That being a good person don't bridge the gap. There's still a great gulf that is between a holy God and unholy man, and only Jesus Christ can bridge the gap between God and man. That's why He became man. Is so that He could take hold of the hand of man. The Bible said that He was found in fashion as a man and humbled Himself unto death, became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He came as a man, but not just as a man, but while He was man, He was God, so that He could reach out and take hold of God and span the goal and bridge the gap between man and God. Somebody said Jesus built a bridge that can't be burnt. I'm glad for that. There have been a lot of people in this life have burned a lot of bridges, but I'm glad that blessed day at Calvary, and we don't have to really get to, some writers over-sentimentalize, and I'm not throwing any stones or being mean to them, but they over-sentimentalize and try to make it out to be just something simple, but I'm telling you what went on at Calvary that day was no simple thing, but Christ did what no other person could do, and He stood in the gap and bridged in between God and man. That's the only way for it to work. We all this morning have come up short. We all this morning have a gap in us. If you're here this morning, you've never been saved, there's a gap in you between you and God. And there's nothing else apart from Jesus Christ that can bridge the gap. You say you're preaching awful simple this morning. This is what's on my heart. And the reality is that we can try all we want to try, but it cannot make the difference between lost and saved, between heaven and hell. Only Jesus Christ can do so. Span the gap. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He did for us what no one else could do. Somebody wrote the song, at the cross, where I first saw the light. And I'm telling you, it's at the cross where the gap was spanned. That work in the dark that we talked about and have talked about, that people talk about how dark their life is, and they wonder whether or not God can help in their darkness. I'm here to tell you, if you read the scripture, God does His best work in the dark. And it was on that day at Calvary, outside the camp, outside the city, on a lonely hillside called Golgotha, in the darkness of this world, from the sixth hour to the ninth hour, when God the Father pulled a blanket of darkness upon the world, and it was nobody but Him and His Son. They sat down to watch Him die, but God pulled the veil over and said, it's not between Him and you, it's between Me and Him. And the Bible said He saw the travail of His soul, and He was satisfied. It pleased God to bruise Him. If we could ever get it in our heart and in our head, what God did to His Son for us, we'd shout, we'd rejoice, we'd glorify, to thank God loved us that much. He who knew no sin. I don't know what all I'll say or how long I'll be this morning. I feel like maybe I'm about done, but I'm preaching what's on my heart and what the Spirit's telling me to say. He who knew no sin was made to become sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Amen. He bridged the gap. You say, I'm poor. I can't afford to be saved. It don't cost you anything. The price has already been paid. The Bible said we know the grace of God, that though He was rich, yet for our sakes He became poor, that we through His poverty might be made rich. He spanned the gap. He bridged the gulf. He made the way that you could be right with God. Somebody says it's too hard to be saved. I beg to differ. It don't have anything to do with you. Salvation, I'm not. No, you hear me well this morning. You, those of you that go here understand what I'm going to say. But what I'm going to say, and nobody, please don't pass judgment. Salvation's easy because it don't have anything to do with you. God is the institutor and the author of salvation. He has no problem of saving you. The problem is not on God's end. The hard part about salvation is you getting in the shape of where God will save you. You say, what are you saying? I'm saying you got to resign your will to His will. That load of condemnation that you carry, that convicting power that brings you to a place of submission and surrender. You say, I'll never surrender. If you don't ever surrender, you'll never get saved. If you don't allow Him to be the Lord, the ruler, the master, the owner of your life, He'll never be your Savior. But I'm glad and thankful this morning for anybody that's ever came to Calvary. There's always been sufficient to save them by grace. Not my will, but His be done. Christ is our example, and He prayed in the garden, nevertheless, not my will, but Thine be done. And that's what it'll take for you this morning, not your will, not your wants, not your wishes, but to resign yourself to the will, the wants, and the wishes of God. And I'm here to tell you this morning, if you're afraid to do that, let me testify and tell you that nobody that's ever been in that place and been born again has ever been sorry for what happened on that night. We sing that song, I've never been sorry. Ever since Jesus saved and pardoned. I've been singing every day. I've never been sorry that I trusted His name. I've met a lot of people that have been sorry for a lot of things in their life. If I could go back and undo and change, there's a lot of things in my own life that I'm sorry ever happened, but I never have once been sorry about that blessed night. I never have been disappointed in Him. He's been disappointed in me plenty of times more than I could number or count, but I've never been disappointed in Him. He bridged the gulf. I'm here this morning and I got so many thoughts running through my mind. I'm just trying to follow the Lord. I hope you understand that. And I'm not trying to get carnal or drum up anything for my past. And I don't think y'all listen to it now. And that's just my opinion. But they had a worldly song, a country song, I guess it was, years and years and years ago that I can remember while I was growing up, and the songwriter in the chorus said, "Love can build a bridge." And I'm telling you, love did build a bridge at Calvary, the greatest love that's ever been known. The Bible said, "Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and gave Himself for us." He paid the price, the ultimate price. Isaiah said He'd grow up as a tender plant, as a root out of a dry ground, with no form nor comeliness. And when we shall see Him, there's no beauty that we should desire Him. That's the Lord. That's the Father speaking in the inspiration of the Holy Spirit about His own Son. That's the way He came. He came to His own, and His own received Him not. They wanted somebody to come in power and come in authority and be a king. They didn't want a baby born in Bethlehem, Judea, or somebody to come out of Nazareth, where Philip said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth?" But I sure am glad and thankful that it is all in the orchestrating and the sovereignty of God, that because the Jews would not receive Him, that we as Gentiles are grafted in contrary to nature, and now salvation's for us, for all the people of all the world. It's not just for a select few, not just if you meet certain qualifications, but I'm glad this morning that Christ died for man. He gave Himself for the whole world. Now, I understand there's a lot of technicalities that we could probably get into, and I'm not going to this morning, but I'm going to tell you, and it's not just come as you want to or when you want to or how you want to, but anybody that's ever come the gospel way under conviction of the Spirit of God, that's why God birthed it in my heart to name this church Gospel Way, because that's the way it's going to take. There is no other way but by the blood, and that's the gospel. We get too technical sometimes. I'm afraid I do at times, and other preachers do. And they want to say, and I understand what they're saying. They say, the people say the gospel means good news, but there's more to it than that. And I understand that. But I'm going to tell you what the gospel is: good news. And I'm telling you this morning, if you're lost and you're headed to hell, I've got good news. If He's a dealing with you, He'll save you. And that's the gospel. That day on the hillside in the dark, God working in the dark again. They've been 400 years of silence between the Old Testament and the New. There's been no word from God. There's been no prophet with any prophecy. There's been no priest with any revelation. There's been nothing going on. God spoke in Malachi before the Old Testament closed out, and He said, "Remind them I am the Lord, and I change not." But in 400 years, it got pretty dark. But I'm glad while some shepherds were in the field watching their flock by night in the darkness, the angel of the Lord came and said, "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Here we are in 2020, and things are getting dark. But I'm glad in the darkness of this hour we're living in, I can stand this morning and by the help of the Holy Spirit and preach to you and tell you that I bring you good tidings of great joy for all people. For there's yonder a day at Calvary in the darkness of the wrath of God. There's a man, and not just any man, but the man, the God man, Jesus Christ, that paid a debt he didn't owe, because we owed a debt we couldn't pay. And he spanned the gulf. You say, I can't get to God. You're exactly right. So he came to you. And now, over there in Job, I was reading it last night and thinking about it. In Job chapter 9, I think, verse number 33, Job's got all these troubles and all these problems. He said, I want to bring them before God. I want to tell him what my heart is. I want to tell him how I feel. But Job said, there's no daysman betwixt us that can lay hands on both of us. But ain't you glad this morning there is a daysman for us, and he's able to reach out and take hold of God because he is God, and he's able to reach out and take hold of man because he became a man and bridge the gap and bring God and man together by his grace. We have a mediator. And I'm afraid that we ought to study the scriptures more and understand what some of these words are we don't use very much, and understand how important and how blessed that we are to be able to say, I understand these titles we use and that maybe mean a little bit more to us when we call him our Lord and we call him our Savior, and around Christmas time we know about him being Emmanuel and all them things. But it do us a good thing to understand that he is our mediator. The Bible said there's but one mediator between God and man. There he is, bridging the gulf, and it is the man, Christ Jesus. You say, well, that don't mean nothing to me. Well, it would if we'd understand what a mediator is. It's one that goes to another to offer terms of peace. And so Christ came to this world. He lived in a robe of flesh for 33 and a half years or so. Lived a sinless, a perfect life. The Bible said he was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. He died a perfect death, a vicarious death, a death of substitution on the cross at Calvary. And now he's able, by his own blood, to offer terms of peace between man and God. For the first time, it's spoken about God's satisfaction. The Old Testament sacrifices, they appeased the wrath of God, but he never was satisfied in them, because to have satisfaction, there must be perfection. And the Bible said there was remembrance of sins every year. The high priest had to go in every year. He said it's not possible, the writer of Hebrews did in Hebrews chapter 10. He said it's not possible that the blood of bulls and goats should take away sin. But he said, but this man, our mediator, when he offered up himself once for sin, sat down on the right hand of God, and he ever liveth to make intercession for us. That word interceder is much the same as the word mediator. It's the go-between. It's the reason that we can pray and have access to God. We can pray in the scriptures. It said, now, therefore. And anytime you know I've said it 100 times, when it says therefore, you better study and see why it's therefore. And he said it's therefore. What's the therefore? Because I have a great high priest that's passed into the heavens, because he's our mediator. He's our interceder. He's our go-between. Because of him, we can come boldly before the throne of grace and find grace and mercy and a help in time of need. It's all because of him. I don't know if I've made any sense this morning. I feel like I run all over the place. But I'm going to tell you what I'm trying to get across is we've all come short, but he never has. When we can't, he can. It's all about him this morning. The reason we're saved is him. The reason we're here is him. The reason we can praise him. The reason we can sing is him. The reason we can shout is him. The reason we can carry on is him. The reason we have hope is him. The reason we're going home is him. Because of heaven is him. Everything we have is because of him. All because of Him. I've come short so many times, and so have you. And I'm going to tell you a reality. If tomorrow comes, I'll come short again tomorrow, and so will you. And if the next day comes, I'll come short again then, and so will you. And I understand, and I thank God for this church and your care for me and my family. And I know what this month is, and I know the Sunday school hours have been geared toward that, and I appreciate that. I mean, it makes me a little uncomfortable, but that's just part of it. I would be afraid if it didn't. But I'm going to tell you what, as much as I love you, and I do this morning with all my heart, I'm going to mess up, and I'm going to fail, and I'm going to come short. If I've not already let you down, I will somewhere along the line. But I can tell you about somebody, He never will let you down. He never will fail you. He never will come short. There's never been an hour He's not been where I am. There's never been a time He's not been what I need. There never has been darkness dark enough that He's not been the light. There never has been sorrow deep enough that He's not able to give joy. I'm telling you this morning, in case you ain't figured it out, He's all we need. All we need. And if you're here this morning and you're lost, you've not been too bad that He can't save you. You've not went too far that He can't find you where you are. See, it ain't about, and I understand what people are saying, and I'm not going to fall out with them when they say they found the Lord. The only reason you found Him is because He found you first. I wasn't really looking for Him. Matter of fact, if I was to be honest with you, I come into the house of God trying to get away from Him, trying to pretend I was something I wasn't. But thanks be unto God, He found me in my sin and in my shape, and He can do the same for you. You may be off down in a valley like that lost sheep, turned upside down and under a bush, and can't get yourself out, and you may think nobody will ever find you. I'm going to tell you about a shepherd that knows how to find lost sheep.
Amen. Yes.
He will find you. If He ever comes looking for you, He'll find you. And I'm going to tell you, the reason He comes looking is not because you're lost to Him. It's because you're lost in sin, and He wants you to come to yourself. And Him lay His hands on you, and you really realize how lost you are. I never realized how bad I was until He got a hold of me. I never realized how much of a problem I was until He got a hold of me. It was that what the writer said, oh, John Newton, it was grace that taught my heart to fear. Thank God for the day that He made me afraid. But I'm glad He didn't leave me there. The Bible said it's the same grace the song did that taught my heart to fear. And grace my fears relieved. And I'm glad for it this morning. I'm glad for the man, the man. I'm not doing him any irreverence by saying that's what the Bible said. He was the man. Not a man. There was not a man that could. There's only one, and that was Him. And He is the man, Christ Jesus, that spanned the gap between heaven and earth. Have you ever wondered why? Now I understand it was all in that tradition, all in that time frame, but that wasn't the reason why. It just was not just tradition of that age, the reason why Christ was crucified the way that He was. It was in the sovereign plan of God that He was suspended between heaven and earth, and He bridged the gap between God and man. And He cried on that blessed air, "It is finished." You say, what was finished? The bridge was built. The gap was spanned between God and man. I'm glad this morning, I've said it before and I feel like I ought to say it again. I'm glad this morning He didn't say, "I'm finished," because He wasn't. He was just getting started. But He said, "It's finished. The work I came to do, I fulfilled the law, every jot and every tittle imperfection. It's done." And the work's done this morning. We read this morning in Romans chapter 3 that we conclude that no man is justified by the works of the law, but by grace and through faith. And that's the only way you'll get it this morning. Ephesians 2 said, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. It is the gift of God. And the greatest gift that was ever given, we celebrate at Christmas time, and it'll be soon upon us. And I'm not trying to get technical or traditional this morning, but the greatest gift ever given to man was not wrapped in paper and a ribbon and put under a tree. But the greatest gift ever given to man was hung on a tree at Calvary outside the gate, bearing the reproach of all the people. All the Isaiah said the chastisement of our peace was upon him. We had he had no sin. He had no reason to be chastised. It was for us. God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And I said it already, and I'm done this morning. He who knew no sin was made to become sin. He never became a sinner, but he became sin so that we as sinners could be made the righteousness of God in him. And the reason we have hope this morning is because of him. That Christ in us, the writer said, is the hope of glory. And if he's not in you, I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but the reality is, if you're not saved and he don't dwell inside you, you have no hope. But if you'll respond to his pleading, he calls unto you, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, the Spirit and the bride say, come. Let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. You can have hope this morning if you don't. And if you're here this morning and you are saved, and that sense of hope, because of the darkness and the days that we're in and our lives and how we fail and how we come short, if that sense of hope is fleeting from you, he can restore the joy, restore the peace, restore the satisfaction, restore the sense of hope. He is hope. He's the only source of hope in us this morning. As we stand all over the house, Brother Tim, you come and get some song of invitation, please. If you're here this morning and you have a need and you have a problem, whatever your need and whatever your problem is, he's the man. He's the mediator. He's the intercessor. He's the go-between. You say, I don't know what to tell God. Just tell him what's on your heart and let the mediator, let the intercessor do his work. He'll take care of you. You realize he knows your needs even before you ask. He just wants you to ask. Our children ask us as earthly fathers, earthly parents, and we bestow gifts unto them. How much more does our Heavenly Father desire for us to ask of him? And it said, how much better things can he give to you? He can give you whatever you need this morning. While we sing, would you come just as you are? Whatever your problem, whatever your condition, whatever your situation, if you're saved, if you're lost, whatever your problem, if you're here this morning and you've been born again, but you're facing some problem, it seems like you can't get it across. You've tried to tell him what you need. You've tried to figure it all out on your own. Just take it to the go-between. Take it to the mediator. You say, I don't know what to say. Just tell him what's in your heart. You may not have the words. You may just be able to cry, groan out, holler for help. That's sufficient. If you'll bear your heart to him, the mediator, the intercessor, the go-between, the spanner, the gap, he can take care of the rest. Would you come this morning? Would you come and get the help that you need? He's able. Whatever you need this morning, he's able. One more verse. He will receive. He'll receive you. He'll welcome you, pardon you, relieve you. Whatever you need, He'll help you this morning. Father in heaven, thank you, Lord, for this privilege, opportunity to be able to bow and call upon your name in prayer. I'm grateful, Lord, this morning to be saved and to be a part of the family of God. I'm grateful, Lord, this morning to know about this man called Jesus. I'm glad, Lord, I don't just know about him. Lord, I'm glad I know you. I'm glad, Lord, that you are our mediator, our interceder, our go-between. Lord, that you spanned the gap that was unspannable by mankind and did the work that no other man could do. I'm grateful, Lord, that all our hope and all our help lieth in you.